Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back. We are so excited. I know that you're excited. I say it every time. We're so grateful. You are such an amazing podcast audience. You share, you comment, you ask questions, you tell us what you need. Thank you. So wonderful. And most importantly is that you share and you make connection with the people that are coming onto the show. Obviously, the show is all about mission accepted and people accepting the mission. And we know that that feels like the hard part, but really, David, isn't it the long part that's more difficult? Making that decision to do something sounds like it's the hardest thing to do, but staying on that mission and completing that mission. And we are so grateful. We have David Kay with us today. We have Ella Coonan, and we are so excited. I'm going to start off talking with David. He is a producer. He is a director. And we've got something really special for you today, audience. And you are going to like get your pen ready. You are going to be so inspired today. I always share with the audience how they're going to feel ahead of time. Then they tell me if I'm right or not, but this one's going to knock you off your feet. So David, it was such a pleasure to meet you. You're doing such an incredible project. Please tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, where are you from? What do you do? How did you be a producer director? And what have you got going on with this incredible good human?
Absolutely. Yes, I'm a filmmaker out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I have been doing films and television for about 12, 13 years now. Worked in television for a while, and then over the last decade or so, I've been doing more short-form films, animated live action. But this past summer, I started working on a feature-length documentary with a good friend of mine, Jace Sharkey. And then suddenly, we found out about Ella's life-changing. Ella is someone I have known her entire life. Her mother's one of my best friends. I, you know, saw her before she was a month old. And she had some pretty drastic life changes. And so I have set everything else aside and have dedicated my life, at least for the next year, fully to helping Ella and telling her story. But she can tell you a lot better about it than I can.
Wow. Well, Ella, welcome to Mission Accepted. I have a little bit of background on your story, and you are an incredible human being. We're so happy that you're here and that you're willing to share your story because, you know what? Not everybody can. Not everybody can, and not everybody chooses to. So you have a big heart. Please share with our audience what's going on for you.
Thank you so much. I'm a senior in high school. I love reading. I love science. I have always been a higher achieving student until about the middle of my junior year last year, when a regular hearing screening led to an audiology appointment, which led to discovering that I'm going to lose pretty much all of my hearing, if not all of it completely, relatively quickly. And we had no idea that this was happening. I have a genetic mutation on my MYO6 gene, which causes severe autosomal dominant bilateral deafness. So I'm losing my hearing. And as unfortunate as that information was, I decided that I was going to do something about it by creating a bucket list of sounds that I wanted to listen to one last time and in their full capacity, since I apparently hadn't been hearing properly for a majority of my life, before I can hear nothing at all.
And when she found that out is kind of how I got involved for the first time too, because she got hearing aids on March 28th of 2025. And on March 30th, I had just checked in on her and she sent me a text that said, "Did you know wind makes sound?" She didn't know about all the sounds we're used to every day. And that's why this bucket list has meant so much to me.
Yeah.
So you were talking about how you didn't have great hearing even up to then, or you didn't know you didn't have great hearing until you got learning support or listening.
I apparently, for majority of my life, have been losing my hearing. I didn't know that I had a hearing loss at all. For a long time, it was the typical assumption of like, oh, well, this is my teenage daughter. She's probably ignoring me. You know, at first it was just like, mom tells me to clean my room and then I can't hear her. And moments where it was like, oh, she's just a little bit in her own little world during class, not really paying attention. But it turned out that I had probably had a pretty significant loss for majority of my life. I started noticing having a hard time hearing people when I was about 11. And I just never really knew that most people didn't experience sound the way that I did. It's one of those, like, you don't really know what's missing if you've never experienced it before. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely an odd experience to suddenly discover that there was this whole other world that I hadn't had access to my entire life.
Well, David, when you say about when she made a comment, when Ellen made a comment about the sound of wind, I think as we hear that message, it was like, it's interesting because to note like the sound of wind or things that we probably don't pay attention to because it's just part of our being. It's part of our thoughts. It's like a plane goes by in the air. It's things that we don't know to take of until it's brought up like this. And so for you, that must have been really surprising.
Incredibly so. Ella's mom, Heather, told me that when they left the audiologist with her hearing aids, Ella thought that there was something wrong with the car. And what was it you were hearing for the first time?
Apparently the turn signal makes a little clicking sound, which I was very concerned. I mean, living in a very weather-prone area, I was very worried that the car was about to break down. I wanted her to pull over. I was very freaked out trying to figure out what was going on. Apparently, that just happens every time you turn, which is just something I had never known but had experienced multiple times.
It's wonderful, though, because it says your mother consistently uses her turn signals.
Yay, mom.
Yes.
So that must have been, you know, I mean, interesting for your mom, shocking for your mom, like not knowing. I mean, I imagine not knowing. It's kind of when someone is colorblind or someone, like when you find out that your child has something that is different to how you perceive that they perceive the world, right? That must have been very interesting for her process as well. You have, David mentioned something about a dream list or a sound list, or tell us how that decision came about. Like wanting...
Well, to touch on the way that my mom reacted, I can't imagine how it felt for her. I know she's been definitely struggling with that a lot. It has to be hard. She's told me many times that she wishes she could experience it instead of me to take away the burden and the pain. In terms of my sound bucket list, I created this list of sounds. A lot of the sounds tend to be inspired by things that I've experienced with my family and things that mean a lot to me and my mama like. So it's definitely been an interesting experience for my entire family, and my mom has been along for the entire ride, which I am so, so grateful to her for.
Are you open to sharing what that bucket list is, or is it being kept to this incredible movie that you're making?
Yeah, I created 16 sounds. It wasn't intentional, but it's pretty much one for every year that I didn't really experience sound and didn't know that I hadn't been experiencing sounds. But it's a wide variety of different sounds that vary from things like the waves of the ocean to a baby laughing to church bells to choir and an orchestra. There's such a wide variety of sounds that kind of combines the once in a lifetime experience things like I got to listen to the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and things that are more every single day, people take them for granted and don't necessarily recognize that those are sounds that I haven't ever experienced before. If you want
to. Well, one thing that I find amazing about the list is the things that aren't on it, because she didn't know they were sounds. A few months ago, when you stepped on a leaf on the ground in the fall for the first time and didn't know that was a sound, it was pretty incredible.
That was shocking.
And some of the things on the list obviously hit me, you know, right in the heart, like hearing a baby laugh. But the one that surprised me most, because you have traveled by air, was, and this is a direct quote from the list, airplanes, open parentheses, if they make a sound, ?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I didn't know they made sound. I assumed that it was just a nice, quiet, boring experience. I assume that the reason people hated planes was because they were like, oh, just have to sit here in silence for multiple hours, and there's just this awkward silence amongst everyone. But it turns out it's extremely loud, and the sound is rather jarring. A lot of people were like, yeah, no, girl, you're not going to want to hear that sound. That is going to be a sound you wish you could never hear again.
Yeah.
I was like, honestly, to some degree, yeah, it's very loud.
So tell me, David, maybe I'll go back to you on this. So there's a movie being produced.
Yes.
And part of our conversation here today is to help raise funds for that movie to be produced and distributed. And anyone who's in film and filmmaking in the world of creatives, we know that takes a little bit of, you know, it takes a little bit of support. How is the movie being shot? Per se, like how are you capturing these sounds, and that is the storyline? Or, you know what, I don't want to talk. This is you, Trip Talk. This is tell
absolutely.
Us.
Well, the film is called The Sound of a Bucket List, and we're very intentionally going with a minimal crew because we don't want to interfere with the sounds themselves. Most of these events and experiences, Ella will have a lavalier mic. Jace, our director of photography, will be there with a DSLR camera. I will have a handheld microphone because that's in my skill set. And usually that's it. Very, very small. A few events we have brought in additional people, like the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra performing Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. More than one camera was a good idea for that one. But it's not only the sounds, because that's incredible. But Ella, I think, has put it quite beautifully. She said that the sounds are for her, but the movie is for everyone else.
Oh, wow.
Because
we write that down. But I mean, I just see it by raising T-shirt, Ella. You know what I mean?
Because there's going to be so much more than just the sounds. We're arranging meetings for Ella with other people that have experienced deafness, with people with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is the connective tissue disorder she was diagnosed with at the same time, which has been a lot. A lot.
It's been brutal.
We're working on talking to doctors and researchers. I spoke to a music historian and musicologist whose specialty is Beethoven's journey with deafness. We really are trying to get everything. And we very specifically want this to be a film that can be watched by people who aren't able to hear at the same level or at all. Every version of this will always have subtitles. That is not optional. We are hiring visual artists to do representations of what the sounds feel like to them. So don't draw a baby laughing, but what does it feel like to you? And instead of any voiceover narration, we'll be having cutting periodically to someone narrating in American Sign Language. Because there's people that do it much better than me. My sign language is horrible. I'm working on it, but it's not good.
Yeah, it'll get better with practice, David.
Right. This documentary, it truly is such a beautiful experience. It's so much more than sitting down and talking about my story and my experiences. It's a lot of coping and handling grief. And my goal is truly through this documentary to help other people understand that it's okay to grieve something that you haven't lost yet. It's complicated, and it will make people laugh and it will make people cry. And there's going to be a lot of messy emotions involved. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It's so exciting to get to watch it all come together and to be able to be the vessel for those difficult emotions that a lot of people don't know how to process.
And it's been evolving since the moment we started it. Because when I first thought about following Ella on her journey, I reached out to her mother first because she was 17 at the time. It's appropriate. Although she just turned 18 3 days ago.
Thank you.
And so I talked to her mother, and her mother said, absolutely, this would be great. And then I talked to Ella, and she gave the okay. And I didn't have the full idea for what the movie was yet, because there's the saying, you know, fast, cheap, good, pick two. Good is not something I'm willing to compromise on, and fast is the only option we have with her hearing loss. So we were jumping in it right away, and one of the selling points I said to Ellen, her mom, was, people will be willing to help you. And if you call them and say there's a movie being made, they will help you even faster. And we've had doors opening left and right. 15 of the 16 sounds have already happened, and the final one happens 5 days from today.
Oh my goodness. You can't lead me. You can't. That's a cliffhanger. You know what a cliffhanger is? And what is the final sound that's going to be shot in 5 days?
The waves of the ocean. We are going to Cocoa Beach in Florida, and we are going to listen to waves that have been described as some of the best. I'm so excited, half because I get to experience this beautiful sound and finish out my portions of the sound, but also because I do get out of AP statistics for a few days, and that sounds really great.
I love when people feel like they can just say the truth, right? That is so beautiful.
Yeah. I also have this wonderful thing. People have been offering bonus sounds, which is wonderful. Of course, we don't have time for all of them, and we're not going to focus on those in the movie. If Ella wants the experiences, we absolutely do that. And we do have a bonus sound while we're in Florida that we won't be able to use for the movie because of rights. But we found out that there's a rocket launch while we're there. And Ella is a lifetime huge space fan. So we're going to go witness that, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure you're going to get it on camera, nevertheless.
Yeah, for social media, since we can't use it.
It'd be great to get into the splice. I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Oh, I'm so excited. I've always loved space. I'm a big science person, like a big science person. So when I found out that, you know, from the place that we're staying, we will be able to just casually experience a rocket launch, I was ecstatic.
Wow. I love that. I mean, bonus sound, right? What a beautiful way to put it. So, David, with the speed of the show getting put together for obvious reasons, or shall I say for the audience, for reasons because, Ella, your hearing is going to start to not be as able as right now. I guess that's the best way to put it. Yeah. And what is the hope and goal for the release of the movie?
Sure. What we're hoping to do is have it edited later this year in time to go into the festival circuit in 2027, hopefully for some distributorship after that. Since it's a documentary, we certainly assume streaming is more likely than a theatrical release, but you know, maybe we can get some art houses too. That would be wonderful. But we really want to start with the festivals because we can share Ella's story and we can be there and we can talk to people and we can find out other people that have had similar struggles and we can connect. This is about human connection at its deepest levels. And yeah. Ella has been probably the strongest supporter of that. She's constantly talking about how she wants to help people with her story, if nothing else.
Yeah, the best, truly the best part of the entire experience is getting to meet people and see how this story has touched them personally, how they can relate, what they have to say. It's meeting people who, when we experienced one of the sounds on the list was a campfire, and we got to go and meet with these firefighters who were just the most adoring, sweet people I have ever met. Like I truly thrive off of those interactions, and it is the best part to hear people and what they have to say about their personal experiences, giving advice. I've had people tell me the best and worst things that have ever happened to them and how they can relate and how the documentary itself is helping them to cope with their own healing and their own grief. And it is just such an honor to get to help to experience that for those people.
Wow. That's beautiful. So far we've heard Ocean and Baby Crying and Wind, I'm assuming. Like, what are the sounds? Are you able to share with us what the sounds are in the movie, or are you holding back till the movie releases?
No, we're happy to talk about them.
Yeah. So what did you choose, my friend?
Oh, there's so many. Okay.
If you need help prompting, I think I have the list memorized.
I'm sure David who shot them all.
I think I could even do them chronologically. We started at the Delaware House with the Singing Bull.
We did, yes.
Oh, beautiful.
That was really cool. We did a sound bath there, and it was a lovely experience.
And then you had wanted to hear a race car.
I did. And I got to ride in one.
1965 yellow Stingray going about 120 miles per hour. Wow.
Yeah, it was really fast. And it was... because of having EDS, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, I can't really ride roller coasters. I can't really experience a lot of very thrill-seeking experiences. So aside from the amazing sound, that also helped me experience like the adrenaline rush that I don't always get to safely have.
Wow. That's cool.
And the next experience was the orchestra, which was the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra doing Beethoven's Ninth, which we talked about.
Oh, it was amazing.
Choir.
Choir.
Yeah, we heard the Master Singers of Milwaukee performing quite a bit, which is stunning. You wanted to hear opera singers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, a couple of singers from the Milwaukee Opera Theater performing Gilbert and Sullivan.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Glorious.
It's amazing.
The fire, like you said, with the Milwaukee Fire Department and Lieutenant Velasquez arranging for you and firefighters to make s'mores together.
It was so amazing.
It was hilarious. The cutest part of it. I'm blanking on the name of the firefighter that had been on the hose, but his excitement when he realized he got to make them too was...
Oh, I was so happy.
Mm.
Oh.
Waterfall.
Oh, the waterfall. It was so beautiful, and we were so delirious. We had been in the car so long.
That was the week where we did 1,100 miles in 5 days. It was a busy week.
Oh, you know.
We got six sounds that way, so...
Yeah. Another one of the best parts of the documentary is the many, many hours sitting in a car with everyone who's going to be helping for the day and all of us stopping at Quick Trip and getting an exorbitant amount of energy drinks and making jokes about t-shirts that we want to make that don't really make sense after you've been in the car for a while. After you get out of the car, you're like, no, that I don't really understand where we were going with that. But when you're in the car, it's hilarious.
Totally makes sense. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So the day after that, you wanted to hear birds chirping and wild animals roaring.
Yes, we went to the zoo. I got to go inside of the penguin enclosure, which was, I have to say, top like three coolest things I have ever done in my entire life.
You also said something amazing, another one of the just we didn't expect it, that you didn't know that different birds made different sounds.
I didn't. I assumed that birds chirping was just going to be one like coherent experience, just over and over and over, copy and paste. But it was, there was so much diversity to the sound, and there was like multiple layers to each chirp. There wasn't just like a singular like cheep cheep. It was like continuous and multiple layers and multiple different sounds, and the communication between multiple different species of birds that sound completely different. It felt like they were speaking completely different languages to each other, but had this universal understanding, which definitely had an impact of like, that's the same way that grief feels a lot of times. But
wow.
Yeah. And we talked about the baby laughing. You have to be Baby George.
Oh, Baby George. I mean, of course. Curious George, Baby George.
And his mom had sent a picture of how he was doing when I arranged this. And it was him like holding himself upright against a little plastic DJ set with a backwards hat and headphones. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, that by far one of the cutest babies I have ever seen. He just has these little baby doll lashes, and he was so giggly, so sweet. Oh.
And then you had subway announcements and a train on train tracks.
Yes, those both were amazing. We went down to Chicago. I will say I was horrified when we were underneath the train, hearing the experience of the sound of the train on the tracks. That was, I was terrified.
That's so fair.
The sound was so amazing. It was the subway arriving announcement, the experience. It was so, it felt odd because it was nostalgic in a way where I had never experienced it before, but there was a sense of knowing that this was a universal experience, and something about that felt so truly human and genuine in a way that really got to me. I'm also a big people watcher, so I just got to watch people go around and make up stories about like, oh, I bet that person's going to see Great Aunt Gertrude. Like, and
you know what? I think we all do that.
Yeah, and just meeting the nicest people. The woman from the Chicago Transit Authority working with us was wonderful, and we didn't realize it, booked separately, is Baby George's aunt, and they live in different states. Just complete coincidence.
Oh my god, That's good vibes. That's what that is.
That's very good vibes.
Oh, yeah.
That same week, there was electric guitar, and we knew this was going to be one of the harder ones. I mean, I play guitar. I could plug in, but there's no scale to that. We want these experiences to be specifically something that you will remember.
Yeah.
And so I tried all sorts of different stuff, because what's the worst someone's going to say? No, that's fine. Like, at one point, I was talking to Elvis Costello's manager. It didn't work out, but it was fun.
Yeah.
And then the Trans-Siberian Orchestra gave us a private VIP suite for the first show of their tour. And it was stunning.
Yeah, it was. Oh, my goodness. It was amazing. And then we got to meet everyone afterwards, and they were so nice. I got drumsticks and a guitar pick, and it was, oh, I can't. It was such an amazing experience. Overwhelming. I love it so much.
Yeah, this has been our lives right now. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think the next one after that was the airplane.
Yes. I got to fly in an airplane, and at some point I did get to fly it myself, which was terrifying and exciting. And
yeah,
I truly don't have words. It was so amazing, and I completely understand why most people can't sleep on planes.
and this wasn't a jet. This was a Cessna 172.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously with our director of photography, we have amazing footage from so many places. One of my favorite shots, though, has nothing to do with them. We flew over Ella's house, and her mom had her phone out and is shooting us from underneath, flying in the distance. It's, and you hear her giggling. Oh,
that's gorgeous. Like, that is emotionally gorgeous.
Wow.
And then the most recent was Church Bells.
Oh, it was so amazing. We got to go to the Basilica, and oh, it was so stunning. The news was there, so I felt a little bit famous.
You go, girl.
It's a very odd experience to have people from my school finding out, because I intentionally didn't tell any of my friends or anyone at all that this was happening. And then all of a sudden, my friends were like, hey, so like, why are you in the news? And I was like, oh, yeah, they're making a movie about me. And they were like, you didn't think to tell us this?
your point, you wanted to share that over lunch, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell them 40 fun facts about irrelevant things, but, you know, the important news in my life, we can keep that a secret.
I'm sure they'll appreciate an invitation to the first viewing, you know?
Well, of course.
Maybe you can give them front row and free popcorn or something. You know.
Oh, we'll see. Depends.
Well, they better be on good behavior. Oh, my goodness. Is that all the sounds?
I think so. It's hard to keep track of them sometimes. And then, on the way, there will be a secondary plane because now we'll be on a jet. Mm-hmm. It's, of course, much harder to get through all the channels at an airline, so we won't be filming that for the movie. But we'll still record it just because that way Ella can re-experience it. It doesn't matter if it's in the movie or not, as long as she gets.
No, absolutely.
So we'll do that. We'll have the rocket launch. We'll have the ocean. It's going to be wonderful. And then spend time hanging out at the Airbnb with the pool and the hot tub. Darn.
Oh, no.
Leaving Wisconsin winter. That's going to be so
hard. Yeah. All right.
It's so exciting. And I'm so excited to go and be out of the snow and to not be doing homework. It's going to be so exciting.
Yeah. So here we are. We're having this conversation here early January. And David, you were saying before this year's or next year's festival season?
Next year's festival season, missions start probably in like late summer, early fall. So we're hoping to have the edit done by the end of the summer. We have an editor already working on it, and she's doing such good work. She's incredible.
I agree.
You concur.
Yes.
Let's just remind, because the conversation's just been so, it's just been like a journey listening to both of you. Let's remind everyone, you do have a name for the show, and how can we support to keep this going? And what is it that your deepest hopes for this are? And, you know, I'm a true believer, and clearly so are both of you, that by putting it out there, things happen and lives change. And, you know, that's why I have this hashtag called borrow bravery. And I think, honestly, Ella, you don't really need to borrow it. I think you have embodied it. And it's people that are doing what you're doing that helps other people to shift in other areas that may not have anything to do with what's happening for you. But it's those pieces of bravery that make people realize. It makes them drop into themselves. And there truly is, as Hallmark, oh, David, how many times have you heard it? If you can do it, I can do it too. I mean, but I don't think there's any other sentence that's more applicable than what it is that you're both doing here. So maybe remind us again, and how can we support?
Absolutely. We do have a website, soundofabucketlist.com. We're on Facebook and Instagram at soundofabucketlist. People help in all sorts of ways. Part of it is just, you know, moral support is wonderful. People replying to the posts and cheering Ella on is beautiful. We do have a GoFundMe, which we don't expect to finance the movie, but it's certainly helping. So people with that. And then all my contact information is on the website. And if someone is interested in being a larger part of this, I'm coming on as a producer, and then, you know, if we get lucky with distributorship, then they can make a little profit too, which we can't promise, but one can hope. Hope springs eternal.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, look at, there's incredible movies. We know now the power of film. I mean, look at the last Oscars. Look at what I think the human story, the story of life itself, is incredibly powerful. And I think people yearn for that more and more as we can, you know, we live very different lives, right? We live very different lives. There's lots of things on social. There's lots of things that you can rabbit hole. There's lots of things that you can go into. But I think that real life is really, truly powerful. And I think at the core of our essence, that's what kind of thirsts us and what brings us home.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on to our audience and sharing your story. We can't wait to support, and we can't wait to have you on the Women's Channel. We're going to have a conversation about what that looks like, and having you, maybe having you on a bit of TE before you hit the festival. We're super excited over here for you.
Thank you so much for having us. This is amazing. I'm so excited.
Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm going to talk to the audience a little bit. So you heard what to do. We don't tell you what to do very often. Okay, that's not true. We always tell you what to do. We tell you two things. We tell you to be well and stay groovy. And I'm going to tell you that these are show notes that I'm going to highly recommend and highly reward you. You're going to have so many rewards. You're going to feel good inside going to the Instagram, going and following, going and supporting, and also follow the journey, right? And cheer on, like David was sharing, either, you know, financially, emotionally, supporting, liking, commenting, and connecting. Now, here is why I believe it's so important to tell stories, right? And I can tell you 1,000 stories where I know this to be true. Is one person is doing something and they are willing to share it. And someone over here who you never even knew, like a train operator who knows, you know, George is like, it's just someone over here goes, I know someone that would love to pick up that story. I know someone that would love to fund that story. I know someone in festivals that would love to da, 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 da. And you start to put people together, and that's where greatness can be born. So I'm going to ask you to think in your minds too, in terms of connecting. So thank you both for being with us today. As always, audience, we appreciate you. We love you. We know that we're going to see you next week. And I usually tell you things to do, but that's what I'm telling you to do today. That's what I'm telling you today. So be well and stay groovy. We will see you next week. And until then, bye.